Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Think about the marvelous temple that was built there. In that passage we are reading that was just read, that temple that Solomon built was glorious. It would be neat to be able to see it. Of course, there were several temples. That temple was destroyed. Ezra built the temple. That was destroyed. There was Herod's temple. That was destroyed in AD 70. There will be another temple built in the tribulation. People of Israel are working towards that right now. They want to rebuild that temple. That temple will be rebuilt. This morning, I think about the message that Pastor preached last week. Pastor preached a message about worldliness and the problems that worldliness causes in our lives. Worldliness, carnality, all those things. And one of the books in the Bible, our text will be from this morning, Book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, one of the churches that were probably, that was the most carnal, the most immoral, the church that lived in a place that was a very, very wicked place. Even in the temple where the worship was all kinds of wickedness taking place and prostitution and everything else. And in the midst of this dark day, Paul writes a treasure to the Corinthians that is a treasured truth that will help you and help me to overcome worldliness. I want you to see that truth. Before we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Another great truth in the scriptures. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. We read what the Apostle Paul says. And he lived this. His life was all about Jesus Christ. In Galatians 2:20, he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul the Apostle had it understood. He understood the truth that he could not live the Christian life, that he could not on his own be the child of God that he needed to be. The only way it could be done was if Christ lived his life in the Apostle Paul. And the only person who ever lived the Christian life is Jesus Christ. And if he will live that life through me, then my life can be honoring and glorifying to God. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ liveth in me." That's the secret to success in the Christian life. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We have a Savior that lives within us. He died for us. He gave himself for us. He loved us and gave himself for us. How can we not return to him the love and respect and honor due unto him? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the apostle is speaking to the Corinthians. It's a time of great wickedness. He says in verse 13, "The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." And then he gets down to verse 19 and teaches this truth. What? In a question, he says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." There's some great, great truths here. When I read in Galatians 2:20, it's Christ that has to live in me. No one but Jesus can live the Christian life. He can live it in your life. Let Jesus use your hands, your feet, your body, your mouth, your ears, your eyes for his glory, for his purposes. Don't worry. Your life will become pure. It will become righteous. It will become worthwhile. It will become worth living. Just trust him to live it through you and live in you and live for Jesus Christ. Pastor preached about the results of worldliness. It's devastation to God's people. There was carnality. There was division. There was immaturity in this church. He told the church of Corinth to grow up, get mature. And it all led to failure. But with God on the throne in our hearts and in our life, we know we can succeed and we can thrive. That's how it happens. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. The first point I see here is that the believer is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The believer is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The person, the author of the Bible, the earnest of our inheritance, the third person of the Godhead lives within me and within every believer. He resides. There is a royal residence inside of you today if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. That resident is Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit of God that indwells us. We have a great, great promise here that we, as children of God, are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We just read a text, Pastor Josh read, the glory that filled the temple when Solomon prayed there. And when the temple was finished and Shekinah glory came down to the Holy of Holies and the priests could no longer be part of in that Holy of Holies, the temple was amazing. The tabernacle was amazing as well. But there was three basic parts to it. There was the outer court. Everybody could see that. And then there was the holy place. And that's where the table of showbread was, and the candlestick, altar of incense, the prayers that went up, the priestly work that was done there. And then there was the Holy of Holies, that place where only the Ark of the Covenant was, with the cherubims having their wings over the mercy seat. There were Jesus, where God and his glory resided. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're a three-part being, your body and soul and spirit. And your body, everybody can see. And your soul, that's your mind, your will and emotions. And your spirit, that's the seat. That's the place that God deserves to be in charge of. That's the place where God ought to be seated, on the throne in your heart, and in your heart of hearts, in the place. We're going to live forever. We're going to live with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. That tabernacle, it was beautiful. It was glorious. But our bodies today are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I read this. The Old Testament had a temple for his people. The New Testament has a people for his temple. I thought that was good. We are the temple of God. Now, if Pastor Josh and I knew that Pastor Rader was leaving, and we decided we're going to make church a little more interesting, we're going to take all the pews out of the middle here, put them out in the parking lot, have a bonfire. We're going to make the floor here a big dance floor in the middle. We're going to play all kinds of ungodly music. Over here, we're going to have an area for those that want to gamble. Over here, an area for those who want a chat place. For those who are good at gossiping, can get on the internet and do that. If we're going to make this place a place full of wickedness and idolatry, just because pastor's gone and because two assistant pastors are pretty carnal, we're going to do. Now, you would come into church, and all kinds of wickedness taking place. Those of you who have been faithfully serving God for years would come into the church and say, I'm not going back to that church ever again. That's not where I'm going to go. Because we'd be destroying the church, what we look at as a church building. Well, we look at also the temple that was made. The temple in the Old Testament days was a place where a lot of work was being done, a place where a lot of cleanup took place. They're constantly cleaning things up. They're giving sacrifices, lambs and bulls and all these things that they sacrifice daily. The priests had a big job of keeping that clean. And you know what? If you're anything like I am, it's a big job keeping the temple clean. It's a constant work. It's a constant work. We have to be in the Word of God regularly, keeping ourselves clean, keeping ourselves from the filth of the world, from getting into the temple. Our bodies are the temples of God. Our bodies are supposed to be a place where God resides, where the Shekinah glory shows forth his glory, and he is glorified in all that we do. God desires to dwell among his people. It's a great truth. If you look at Exodus 25, the reason for the tabernacle is that God says that I may dwell among with them. God wants to dwell among his people. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thought. The presence of God wants to be evident. He wants you to know his presence. He's always there. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can grieve that. You can do all you can to deny that as a child of God, but he's there nevertheless. The Bible says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God. It's a place that was a clean place. They had wash basins. The priests constantly washing themselves. Well, yes, you have to do that, especially if you're butchering animals. You get blood on you. You know, some people get more blood on them than others. Like when you paint, some people paint all day, don't get any paint on them. I don't know how they do that. If I paint, I get paint on me from top to bottom. I get paint everywhere. I get paint on the guy next to me because I want to get the job done. I just start doing it. We had to paint that strip on the ceiling there, and we had some paint here. Thankfully, Ray didn't catch any of it. You didn't find any paint, did you? I cleaned up every spot of paint I dropped on. That was a very tedious job, up and down that ladder all day. This week has gone one of them weeks where not everything goes your way. We're trying to get the bus ready to get it sold. They're coming up to look at it tomorrow. They're bringing the checkbook. Man, it needs to be clean. You don't just sell something that's dirty. Even if it's a used car with 250,000 miles on it, I've sold those lots of times. It's the only kind of cars I sell. But if it doesn't have 250,000 miles, I keep driving it. But what do I do with that old car? I clean it all up, spit shine it, you know, get the armor all on the inside and the outside, paint, I'll spray that stuff on the tires so they're nice and black. Well, I was supposed to do that to the bus. Pastor gave me one job to do. I tried to do it Wednesday. I couldn't get it done. It was too much else going on. I tried to do it Thursday. I needed to preach for chapel and get ready for that and didn't get that opportunity on Thursday. So Friday I came over here, and there's two panels underneath that need to be put up. And I got a great idea because, for me, a screw gun and a self-tapping screws. Self-tapping screws are worth their weight in gold. You can do anything with a self-tapping screw. I crawled under there, had my knees on the panel, put the self-tapping screw in one side, put it in the other side, and it went right through into a copper antifreeze line. I had no idea there was an antifreeze line there. I couldn't see it. They're all jammed up in there. Now I see it, but there's a hole the size of a screw right into a copper line that's draining antifreeze all over me, and that's all sticky and nasty. I grabbed the bucket, put underneath there, and I thought, what am I going to do? The first thought was, I'll take another screw, put Teflon tape on it, and stick it in there. But I went to the co-op and I found somebody who's more experienced than me. He said, no, not Teflon tape. He said, get an O-ring and get some ATV sealer. And after you stick it in there with the O-ring and ATV sealer, then, just so it doesn't ever come loose, take a hose clamp and put around it and tighten it on there. And guess what? It's not leaking. It's working fine. There's nothing wrong. The guy that did that the first time told me his is holding for 4 years and it hasn't leaked yet. So I will tell the people who want to buy the bus that there is a screw in the antifreeze line, but it will hold at least 4 years, guaranteed. How did I get on that? You know, here's how that applies to this message. If you try to do things in the flesh, just do it your own way, how will you ever please God that way? If we're going to live the Christian life, we have to do it God's way and do things what He wants. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I know how I got on it. That right there needs to be clean. Your temple needs to be clean. Your temple needs to be a place of holiness. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It was also a serious place because blood was shed there. It was a place of prayer where they had the altar of incense. It was a place of communion, where they had the table of showbread, a time of communion with God. You can commune with God. He wants to dwell with you. It's a place of light because the candlestick was there, and God, the Holy Spirit, is the light of our life. God, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. We have the light. We have been brought from darkness into His marvelous light, the scripture tells us. A holy place. The angels cried, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And Isaiah said the same thing when he came face to face with God. Are you keeping the temple clean? That's the first way to get worldliness out of your life, is to clean the temple. And the next point I see here, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. You are not your own. The believer is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the believer is purchased by God. I do not own the right of my own self, my own life. I am not the one who makes the decisions for what I am supposed to be doing. It's just like a person that is a renter who rents a house. When you rent that house, you can reside in the house, you can reside in the home, but if you're going to do anything to that home, you need to have permission of the homeowner. The homeowner is the one who owns the home. You can't just go and say, I'm going to paint this home purple. If the homeowner wants it gray or brown or yellow or some other good color besides purple, you can't do that because the home is not yours to paint. It's yours to live in according to the contract that you have under rent, and our lives belong to God. We are not our own. We belong to Him. We're bought with the price. Not only that price was of great, high, high cost. It was not silver. Look in 1 Peter 1:18. It says, you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver. Silver wasn't the price that paid for my life. The reason why I belong to God was not that He gave silver for me. You're redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold. It wasn't gold that paid the price of my ownership. I belong to God because it was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It was the precious blood of God. It was the best that heaven had, the best that God could give, the best that there was in all of heaven that was paid for the price of one believer, of one person. God paid a great price to own me. How dare that I would take ownership back to my own self? How dare that I would give myself back to the world and back to the devil and back to the lust of the flesh and the things of this world? How could I live a worldly life, a carnal life? How could I live a life with no regard for God who owns me? I belong to God. I ought to decide. He ought to decide what to do with me, what I should be doing, where I should be going, what I should be reading, what I should be watching, what I should be listening to. Ought to be His choice, not my own. He should make the choices of what I do. He has the ownership. He has complete authority in my life. In Daniel 9:27, in Daniel 11:31, in Daniel 12:11, it speaks of a man named Antiochus Epiphanes, who this individual desecrates the temple of God. And this individual foreshadows the one that we know as the Antichrist. Look in Revelation chapter 13. In Revelation 13, the Antichrist comes on the scene. He very well could be alive and living today. And he is going to be a person with great charisma, but also a person who is very extremely blasphemous. And he will blaspheme the name of God. And we read in the verses in Revelation 13 about the Antichrist, verses 4 through 8, we read, and they worshiped the dragon. Man wants to worship so many things. We need to worship only the true God, Jesus Christ. But in this day they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There's coming a day when this world is all in unison going to worship the Antichrist. all those except those whose names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, except the redeemed of the Lord, except those who are blood bought and purchased by God himself. And those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we will not worship the beast. The tribulation will have taken place and we'll be in heaven, praise the Lord, for the truth of the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. But the point this morning is, I don't know a believer who would read those words, who would read about the Antichrist and not have a hatred for the Antichrist, and not have a place of disdain in your heart for what the Antichrist is going to do. He is going to make war. He's going to blaspheme God. He's going to blaspheme the saints, and he's going to make war against the saints, and he's going to kill the saints of God. But the patience of the saints and the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood overcomes that. Jesus will come again soon. He will stand foot on this earth. He will reign as King of Kings forever and ever. And we would disdain the Antichrist and all of his wickedness and blasphemy. But yet, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I would disdain the Antichrist for blaspheming the temple and blaspheming, but yet I would allow and take God off the throne of my own heart and life, and allow myself to make the decisions for what does not belong to me. My life does not belong to me. It belongs to God. He makes the choices. He ought to have all the authority, and all the choices ought to be what he desires. As much as we would disdain this terrible, wicked individual, we would do the same thing in the temples of our own bodies. And the third thing I see, the believer ought to glorify God at all times. He ought to always be glorifying God, not just in your body, but in your spirit as well. It's not just what we say. You know, and some of us can be saying the right thing, but with the wrong attitude. Notice what he says here. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have to submit to the Holy Spirit's restraining work, keeping us away from sin, before we can have the power of the Holy Spirit alive and well in our lives. We have to first submit ourselves to his authority and say, okay, what you don't want is not part of my life anymore. If you don't want it there, I won't put it there. I know with me, when I used to, I grew up listening to all the wrong kind of music that wasn't honoring and glorifying to God. I put right on my radio, I put a Bible verse there. As for me and my house, we will please the Lord. And we will put Jesus Christ first. I've got that from the book of Joshua. And I put that right over the radio so I couldn't turn that radio on unless I first read that verse or moved that verse out of the way to do it. You know what? Jesus first. I want that which honors and glorifies God in my heart and life. And when you start changing that, when you start realizing that God owns everything and putting him first, it makes all the difference. We got to have clean temples. We got to have temples that are honoring to God. And we have to be constantly looking for ways to give God all the credit and all the glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything I do, is it glorifying to God? Stop and think about it. Does this honor God? Does this glorify God? It will prevent you from living a worldly, carnal life if you just think about those things. If you just think about these truths today, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, that you are owned by God, and that are you glorifying God in what you do? If you just think on those three things throughout the week, it will bring the worldliness in a right perspective. And those things will kind of fall away from your life. Philippians 1, let's turn to that text. The apostle loves these people at Philippi. They have been a great church, terrific people. That's where the apostle Paul started the church there, him and Silas, singing. They started it because they had a prayer meeting and a singing time in the prison. And he says to these people in Philippians 1, verses 8, I would long to say this for our church, for Fundamental Baptist Church. In Philippians 1, verses 8 through 11, he says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." He's saying, my heart goes out to you. I love you folks. He says, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ, being filled with all the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." He doesn't say that we'll just have a little bit of righteousness in our life. He says that you'll be filled with the fruits of, your life will be filled with that which is righteous and good and excellent and honoring to God, and that which is glorifying to his holy name and praise to him, to God, to Jesus, who died for me and gave himself for me. Like it says in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, which loved me and gave himself for me." Is everything you do because you love God? That's an awesome, awesome way to live a life. To live your life knowing who you belong to, being under the authority of Jesus Christ, and honoring him every step of the way in everything you do. That is the way the Christian ought to live his life. That's the way that would be an abounding life. You still have things go wrong. That'll happen. But in those wrong things and everything that's going wrong around you, you have a right spirit and a right attitude. And the Spirit of God will be in control and not yourself. And let God be in control. Let Jesus live the Christian life through you, the temple of God. You belong to God. Don't make decisions for your life without first giving him the priority and asking him what he desires.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.